I hope you're not worried your pastor's falling apart. That somebody keeps telling me that they said, just look forward to the next round. So something, it seems like every week something. But I'm thankful to be here with you this morning. Thankful that God's word is the desire of your heart today. So I'm going to ask, would you turn with me to John chapter 14? We have been in the Gospel of John for a while, and we are going to be here a little bit longer. In John chapter 14, you may recall the last time that I preached, last Sunday, our missionary came and spoke, and Ivan Bykov shared a wonderful message of giving God what's in our hand. Do you recall? What a great message. Before that, I shared with you the week before from John chapter 14 how Jesus shared with his disciples his power secret. It was no secret at all, was it? He shared with them exactly why he had such strength and power in his humanity. As we go there, and in John chapter 14, you may recall that Jesus told them, he says, I'm going to be leaving you. Do you remember? He said, I'm going to be leaving you. And he told them there in verses 1 through 3, he said, don't worry. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be discouraged. I'm going to leave you, but don't be discouraged. And the disciples, you remember, they began to ask questions saying, you know, well, why are you leaving us? And how are we going to be able to do anything if you lead us and leave us? And he said, listen, he says, if I leave you, he said, your future is going to be greater than your past. You remember? And the disciples, in essence, said, Jesus, if you're going to leave us, how is that possible? Do you remember that Jesus told them there in John chapter 14, as we're going to be reading again in just a moment, he said, listen, he said, my strength rested on my dependence on the Father. He says, my ability, because I yield to the Father, is in strength. And he said, yours is going to be the same way. And that's what he was trying to help them to understand. And this is why it's so important for you. It's important for each one of us to remember this, that Jesus said his strength depended on his total reliance, his dependence on the Father, as he had given up his deity and wouldn't use it in his humanness, remember? And so as he said, I'm going to remain in my humanity, I'm going to depend on the Father. And he was trying to tell them that their strength, just as his strength, was dependent not on Jesus' human presence, but on what? That he would lean on the ability of the Father. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? And we're going to reread that passage that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, beginning with verse 10. Jesus said, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Now, what did Jesus say? This is the Christ Jesus, literally the Son of God, God in the flesh, who chose not to use his godhood, but to be fully human while he was here. And he said, he gave his secret there, and he said what? He said, I do not speak of my own authority, but on whose authority? Who did he say? God the Father. It is the Father who dwells in me. Look at that word. Dwells in me, does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. And then Jesus told the remaining disciples, there was just 11 left there, because you remember Judas had left out to go and to betray the Lord Jesus. And so he's speaking to the remaining 11 there. And then Jesus told them something really extreme. He didn't just say, look, you're going to be able to get by without me and you're going to be fine. He said something else. He had already said, don't be worried, believe in me. He had already said, if you trust me, you're going to do some good things. But now he says, look, trust me, and you're going to do the works that I do. But then he says, because I go to the Father, those who believe in me are not just going to do the works that I do, but what? Do you remember? He said, you're going to do what? Greater works. Let's just read that. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Listen, that's grand enough, is it not? But then he says, and greater works than these he will do. Why? Because I what? Don't just overlook these words. These are so pertinent. Greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now this scripture is Jesus' instructions for the disciples as he's leaving earth, as he's preparing to go to the cross, and he's trying to tell them, I'm not going to be with you forever, but if I go, something greater is going to happen. These are his words to his followers, and they're his words to you. Don't forget. It's not the physical presence of Jesus, but the spiritual presence of our Lord, our God, that'll help us. Pray with me. Father, your word, Father, it's so pointed and straight. It pierces our hearts, and then we walk away and forget what it's done. Don't let us move away from the truth, Lord, that the power of our Father can be in us every moment because we yield to you. Help us, Lord, not to mistake our physical abilities with the need for spiritual strength. Help us, Lord, as we walk with you, talk with you, and are obedient to the word because you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? The promise of greater works. We told you that we were going to talk a little bit about that when we came back, so here we are. The disciples, you remember the disciples, had three miraculous years with Jesus. Some incredible times. They worked miracles and they saw miracles. They had crowds that followed them around. They had notoriety beyond most anybody in that time during that day. They were the Beatles, if you will, of the first century. They had a following like no other leader. Now, you pardon me if you're offended by that, but I want you to understand that with the popularity and with the movement, they were more powerful and they had a greater message going out than anybody of their time. And the people were gathering in mass and in throngs to see the disciples and to see Jesus and to hear his word and to be healed and to be fed. And these disciples were right there with it, with Jesus. But now Jesus says, look, things are changing. And you're not going to just do what I've done. You're going to do greater things. And I'm leaving you. Whoa. What, Jesus? I'm leaving you, but don't be worried. Don't let your heart be troubled. And when I leave you, your future is going to be brighter than your past. Can you imagine these disciples with everything they've seen, with the popularity, with the notoriety, with the healing, with the word, with the power from the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is saying, it's going to get better because I'm leaving you. It's just not very believable for them, is it? How often, though, do we skip right over these words? We read them and we miss the power that's behind them. You're leaving, Lord Jesus, but it's going to get better. You're leaving, but we're going to do greater works. So the million-dollar question is, how do these simple men, these fishermen, these ordinary guys, do greater works than Jesus did? It's laid out in Scripture before us. We need to look at it. Now, let me just ask you, Jesus says, look, I'm leaving you. He already said the Son of Man has to be lifted up, indicating the way that he was going to die. And now, Jesus tells them, but you're going to do greater works. Was Jesus exaggerating? Was Jesus wanting to encourage them too much so that he told them an untruth? Was he going beyond reality to try to lift their spirits up? Listen, guys, he said, I have to lay down my life, but it's going to be okay. Was Jesus exaggerating? Now, let me ask you, have you ever done that? Maybe you knew that your kids really weren't great at algebra. And you said, oh, it's going to be okay. Just study. You're going to be all right, knowing that they're going to have the same trouble you had. Maybe you've told somebody, listen, you know, coronavirus wasn't that bad. You're going to get over it, et cetera, et cetera. Well, let me just ask you, have you ever exaggerated? You know, it's going to be okay, General Custer. There's not that many Indians out there. Have you? Is that what Jesus did, just trying to, you know, it's going to be all right, you know, trying to give them strength until the end? No. What Jesus spoke was absolute reality. Amen? What Jesus spoke was not an exaggeration. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. Amen? And Jesus, as God, he was truth in the flesh. He could not lie. So things were going to get better. They were going to have a greater ability. And we think, how in the world can that be? So we have an understanding that Jesus is trying to tell them about the coming of how they could do this better through the coming of the Helper. Remember? The Helper. So the question is, how could the disciples do greater works than Jesus? How? How could they remove disease? Jesus didn't just give some people a reprieve and say, okay, well, you're healed for the day. When he healed someone, they stayed healed there on that earth, right? He didn't just do a few things. He cast out demons. Were they going to be able to cast out demons? Were they going to be able to create wine and fish and bread? Were they going to be able to calm the storm? Were they going to be able to walk on water, raise the dead? What are the greater works? Question is, what did Jesus mean when he said, believe in me and you will do greater works? Let's put this together now. Jesus said first to what? Believe in me, and then with you believing in me, then what's going to happen? Greater works. So what are the greater works? What are we talking about here? Did Jesus mean miracles? Did he mean that they were going to be doing all the things that he did? Well, apparently, because they did some of that, most of that. Did Jesus mean miracles even today? Maybe. Listen, if Jesus wanted you to be able to perform a miracle in his power, could he do it through you today? Sure he could. We don't see that because the requirements and the needs are not the same today because we have the Word of God. But understand this. Every miracle that Jesus performed on earth, listen to me, every miracle that Jesus performed on earth was temporary. It was limited to the physical time on earth of that individual. Those that Jesus fed, guess what? The next day, you know what happened to them? They were hungry again. When Jesus calmed the raging sea, it stayed calm until when? The very next storm. Every person that Jesus healed on earth eventually died. Those he raised from the dead. And I'm going to tell you, it was no favor to Lazarus to bring him back from the dead. Those he raised from the dead eventually died again. Every physical miracle that Jesus performed on this earth was temporary. And the fact is, dear friends, that Jesus himself tied his promise of greater works to his leaving and to the coming of the Helper, the Holy Spirit. If it was just about performing the same miracles, and Jesus said, look, the same things I'm going to do, you're going to do. If it was just about performing the same miracles, why did we need a helper? Why couldn't we just do it as Jesus did? There is a reason. Jesus leaned so totally and fully on the Father in heaven that he did everything in humanity that we could never do. And yet, he sent us the helper. And we're going to talk more about what this means, but understand this, we needed God's help. So he sent the helper. Jesus knew that we were going to need his help. He knew the greater works that he promised were dependent on what he was going to do. And we're going to read about that. It says, Jesus left this world. He said, I'm leaving this world and I'm going back to heaven. And then Jesus said that he would then ask the Father, he would pray to the Father, and then his Father would then send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to us. Let's just read that passage again. Let's start with verse 12. You got your Bible? John chapter 14, verses 12 through 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall also do. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now follow with me, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Boy, there is something that we can overlook. Oh, we can have the power of the Holy Spirit, but there's some clauses in here. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, capital H, another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Because Jesus left the earth, he performed what he came to do. He did what God required in paying for our sin. And then he went back to heaven. But he says, I'm going to send you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. You see the promise? The Helper. Jesus says, I'm going to go. If you will believe in me, if you will believe, he said, I'm going to pray to the Father. The Father's going to send the Helper. The Helper's going to be here to help you, and he's going to be with you forever. I'm not going to leave you orphans. You're not going to be here by yourself. In John chapter 16, verse 7, the scripture says, nevertheless, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And he told him earlier, he said, listen, he said, the Holy Spirit's not here yet because I have not yet been glorified. So we understand this. There was a specific time for the Holy Spirit to come. When did the Holy Spirit come? Immediately after Jesus' death? Did Mary, Martha, did the disciples, whenever they ran to the garden to see Jesus, did the Holy Spirit come out to them? Nope. So he didn't come at Jesus' death immediately. No. Why? Because he was still physically here. And he said, the Holy Spirit's not going to come until I'm glorified. Read the scriptures. They go together. They answer a lot of questions. But as long as Jesus was physically on this earth, the Holy Spirit wasn't going to come. And after his death, he was still here. After the resurrection, he appeared to hundreds of believers for the next 40 days. Do you remember that? He came, he taught, he showed people. He said, here I am. He told Thomas, you remember, he said, put your hands in my hands, put your fingers in there and put your hand in my side. He said, this is me. So he appeared to them. And after the resurrection in those 40 days, then he ascended to the Father, the scripture says. In other words, he returned to heaven, and that was 10 days later. So 10 days after his ascension, Jesus' promise came true. Do you remember what happened 10 days after he went back to the Father? There's a name for it. Do you remember? Pentecost. Pentecost. Jesus' promise of the coming Holy Spirit, of the coming Helper, was accomplished at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out. What happened? Peter began to preach, and over 3,000 people came to know God as Lord and Savior, came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. They came to salvation, over 3,000 people in one day. Now, I'm going to tell you this. According to my reading and all the Word of God, we never saw that many people come to belief in Jesus during his 3 years of ministry. And here in one day, 3,000 people experienced God's salvation. In one day. Is that not greater works? Is that not more people coming to God in belief because of the work of the Holy Spirit on that first day that the Holy Spirit came? Greater things were accomplished on earth through men because God used them and the Holy Spirit descended on the hearts of men. Understand, there is a purpose for the greater works that God said that we were going to do, that Jesus said we were going to do. At Pentecost, one miraculous gift was given: the Holy Spirit. Now, at Pentecost, were there any blind men made with their sight, given their sight? Do you read it? There might have been, but do you read about it in the Word of God? Go back and read Acts chapter 1. You're going to go through there, and you're not going to see any blind men that were given sight. You're not going to see any lame men that were made to walk. You're not going to see any demon-possessed people that were made whole. No, there was one miracle that's recorded here. And it's not a temporary miracle, but a permanent miracle. The miracle of the lost coming to eternal life. The miracle of people coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, turning their lives over to God and being saved for eternity. And when they physically died, they no longer lost that miracle. They transported right to the heart of Christ Jesus, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord from that time forward. So people, that's the greater works. Don't go around saying, well, I haven't raised anybody from the dead lately, so I guess I don't have the greater works. Listen, if you raise somebody from the dead, let's just say somebody died and you're able to bring them back, but you don't witness to them and they don't come to know Jesus, guess what? They just die all over again and they die for eternity. If you were able to heal somebody and you could cure cancer, and you heal people, but you don't talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't come to know Jesus Christ, they don't receive the gift of salvation, they are healed for nothing. If you could feed 5,000, boy, you'd be popular. But would they have the benefit of eternity? The greater work here is not a temporary miracle, but a permanent one. God can do miraculous things, even today. Listen, I have seen miracles. There are miracles sitting in this building today. I have seen them. I've experienced them. I have talked to people. I've heard the testimonies, and I know that they are real. But isn't bringing the lost to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ the greatest thing that you could do for anybody on this earth? The works that Jesus did while he was a human on earth, dealt with the physical and material things of life. But the greater works that he has promised that we will do deal with the spiritual. That's the greater things. The Holy Spirit works on people's hearts. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and says, share your testimony. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and says, tell them about the Word. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and says, invite them to come and hear the Word of God. The Holy Spirit works and brings people to the threshold of God. They must receive it, but the Holy Spirit brings them to the heart of Christ. Luke chapter 10 records that Jesus sent out 70 more disciples. He had 70 disciples there, and he was at Capernaum. And it says that as he sent them out, he empowered them to go to preach and teach and do what they needed to do. And it says that they returned with joy. But do you remember what it said that they had joy over? We're going to read that. He sent them out, and it says in chapter Luke chapter 10, verse 20, it says that they reported that even the demons were subject to them. And Jesus chastised them a bit. And he said, verse 20, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He said, that's what you rejoice over. He said, rejoice that people come to know God as Lord and Savior. Rejoice that people are saved to eternity. So many times, dear people, we celebrate the wrong victory. Don't we? We celebrate the wrong victory. We should not be focusing our rejoicing in the temporary materialistic things or accomplishments or even the miracles that can happen, but we should be rejoicing in souls that are saved. That's the greater works. Don't rejoice that God might choose to use you to heal through you, and I believe it can happen. Don't just rejoice that God might just use you to speak in a tongue that somebody else could understand, that nobody else could understand. The disciples did that. The Holy Spirit came on them. And that's the only gift that I recall reading about in Acts chapter 1. It says that they were able to speak in tongues. Now let's clarify that one. It says they were speaking in tongues and that the men who heard them in their own language. They didn't hear hallelujah, blah, blah. They heard Jesus saves. They heard He is the way. They heard Jesus is God. They heard Jesus rose from the dead. They heard Jesus is the only way. That's what they heard. Not an unknown tongue, but in their own language, the gospel of Jesus shared plainly. That's the only gift that was given that day that I read about in Acts chapter 1. If you recall from God's word, I recall that there's only one time that it says the angels rejoice. Now, there are several times that you go back through and it says, and all heaven rejoiced. I remember that. But one time it says that the angels rejoiced. And do you remember what it said that the angels rejoiced over? Was it when it says that a blind man was given his sight? Did the angels rejoice? A lame man stood up and walked, picked up his bed. Did they rejoice? Leprosy was cleansed. Did the angels rejoice? Nope. What did they rejoice over? When one came to God. When one lost came to salvation, the angels rejoiced. And dear friends, that's what we need to rejoice over as well. Now, what significance does this have for us? If I didn't share this with you today, I would be remiss. So I'm asking you, what significance do these things have to do with you and with me today? First of all, the Bible tells us that Jesus is God. Amen? Understand that. We're not saying that Jesus ceased to be God. He was fully God and fully man. It's a mystery I'm not sure I can fully explain. I can do my best, but somebody can tangle my tongue all up and I get it and I begin to mess it up. I know this. God's word says He was fully God. God's word says He was fully man. Scripture tells us that Hebrews chapter 2 verse 17 said, except for sin, He was like us in every way. How did Jesus maintain both natures? Let's ask Him when we get there. But the best I can do is to try to explain it. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, that scripture tells us that Jesus left the glory of heaven to live fully as a human being. And as a human being, that scripture tells us, he yielded himself to the Father in every way. Amen? Every way that he should and every way that he could. And yet we struggle to do that, but Jesus did it. Theologians have said it this way. Listen to this. Maybe this will help. They said, Jesus decided in eternity past to add humanity to his deity. He didn't cease to be God. He added humanity to his deity, but he would veil his deity so that his humanity could find full expression. He was never less than God, but he chose to live his human life on earth, never more than a man. Why? So that he could show us that it can be done with God's help. A victorious life can be done with God's help. Jesus showed us that we, in our humanity, can find power to live spiritually triumphant. Do we fail? Don't look left and right. Do we fail? We fail. We miss the mark. You know what the Bible calls that? Sin. We miss the mark. But by yielding our life to the Heavenly Father, as the human part of Jesus did, we can be triumphant and live a spiritually triumphant life. By choosing to be filled with God, by choosing to be filled with His Holy Spirit, our spiritual helper, Jesus called Him that, helper, our spiritual helper. God's Word says that we can not only do what He did, we can do greater things. And the greater things is spiritual victory in the life of others. Now listen, we cannot begin to compare ourselves to God. Amen? Amen? We are not little gods, people. That's blasphemy. We are not little gods. But what we can do is yield to the Holy Spirit, and God can do greater things in us because of His presence in us. The secret, brothers and sisters, is believing, Christ said, believing in Him and yielding to Him. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Does it really make sense? Then we can stop for today. Because we're going to come back and we're going to look more at what it means to greater things and how to yield to the Holy Spirit. But it starts with what? Two things. Number one, believing. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Do you believe that He sent us the Helper when He returned back in glory to heaven? Do you believe that that Helper is the presence of God in your life? Do you believe the Word of God when it says that He can help you with spiritual victory in your life? And the next thing, dear friend, is will you let Him? You can have all kinds of power, but until you plug in, you're still powerless. Will you plug in? Friend, so many people tell me, I try so hard and I can't. I try so hard and I can't. You know what? That's our nature. Doesn't the scripture say that Paul said, you know, that I would do, I don't. And that I don't want to do, I do. Helper, come help me. A very important and vital prayer for you and for me. Helper, come help me. Pray with me. Father, You've sent the Helper to us, and I believe. Father, there are many here who believe. And I pray, Lord God, that Your Holy Spirit would come in strength and in power and give us, Lord, Your strength to do greater works. We realize, Father, that that doesn't mean that spiritual victory means worldly success. But it means that people are going to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father, help us to do that. Spiritual success doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to build a bigger building. But God, it means that the kingdom of God is going to be bigger. God, we may not be healing people of physical ailments, but they're going to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. God, help us to do the greater works in the strength and in the ability of the Lord our God, the helper that you send each and every moment we call.